All right, I'm going to get started here with the scintillating public disclosure statement thing. As you're aware, we're required to make a number of conflict of interest and related disclosures in connection with our participation in this conference and the companies that we may discuss. If you want to review those, there are packets in the back of the room, and also there's PDF available on the webcast. So with that dispensed with next, I'm very pleased to present Jim Hunt, who's the EVP and CFO of Walt Disney's Parks and Resorts segment. Jim has been the CFO since 2003, and prior to that, he was the CFO of Walt Disney World. As you know, the parks are really one of the most scrutinized segments within Disney, and the trajectory of park margins are hotly debated. So Jim has a presentation for us that hopefully is going to pull back the curtain a little bit, and then hopefully we're going to have a little bit of time for a Q&A after that. So thank you very much, Jim.
Thanks very much, Doug. It's good to be here today. We're going to share some plans and some discussions on our strategies for the Parks and Resorts segment going forward. And that will be the focus of my remarks today, to give you the longer-term expectations for our parks business overall. Our March quarter ends this Saturday, so updated stats on our business, including current trends at the theme parks, will be discussed in our Q2 earnings conference call, which will be on May 9th. You know, Parks and Resorts is an integral part of the Walt Disney Company, and I'll tell you in a minute how that translates financially. First, though, it's important to let you know that our destinations around the world provide an enormous consumer support for the overall Disney brand. Everything else being equal, visitors to Disney theme parks have a dramatically higher opinion of the Disney brand than do other customers. Our parks also play what we think is a very important role in cultivating new relationships. Second only to Disney-branded films, the parks are the gateway that most households use to first connect with the Disney brand. Disney theme park visitors, or our guests, as we like to call them, spend significantly more on other Disney products, such as consumer products and DVDs, than do non-guests. A specific example of that is our research tells us that if you've been to the parks a few times within the last 5 years, you're likely to spend three times as much as the average consumer on other Disney products, and we think that's pretty powerful. Now, we offer consumers a number of different ways to experience Disney. I think most of you know, but just in terms of reflection, we have five destinations around the globe, two of them here in the United States, one in Paris, one in Tokyo, and as of less than 7 months ago, one in Hong Kong. So we have 11 theme parks in total. We have more than 33,000 hotel rooms represented by our 31 hotel resorts, and as you might expect, we have everything from luxury resorts such as the Grand Floridian down in Florida, the Hotel MiraCosta in Tokyo, or value property resorts such as the Pop Century in Florida. We also have a couple of water parks. We have 126 holes of championship golf, a substantial number of retail dining and entertainment venues, a sports complex that is one of the world's premier destinations for both athletes and spectators. We also have seven Disney Vacation Club properties with nearly 100,000 member families, and we do have two cruise ships as well. So it's our highly worldwide base of highly themed and unique and creative and story-centered assets that really allow us to welcome a growing number of guests each year. In 2005, for example, our attendance grew in our domestic parks at about 5% against the prior year. That trend continued through the first quarter of 2006, with attendance growing by approximately 9% against the prior year. And that's largely on the strength of our 50th anniversary celebration, particularly at Disneyland. Interestingly, I fully anticipate that we'll be welcoming our overall 2 billionth guest to the turnstiles sometime this fiscal year. We said earlier this month at the Walt Disney Company annual meeting that the three pillars of the company are driving creativity and innovation, applying new technology, and expanding our business on a global basis. I'll try to touch on each of these throughout the rest of today's discussion, starting with creating high-quality entertainment, which I think, as everyone knows and appreciates, is the centerpiece of what we do. It's really what's propelled Disney's growth in the past, and we certainly expect it to be a driver of our growth in the future. Our ability to deliver memorable entertainment experience is significant, and it's a sustainable competitive advantage. If you take a look at the top parks around the world, and the top 10 in particular, it's not surprising, at least to us, that 8 of them are Disney. Our ability to take attractions and entertainment to the next level and create compelling and memorable stories for our guests to explore is, once again, the hallmark of our business. Take Expedition Everest for an example. For those of you who don't know, Expedition Everest officially opens next week at Disney's Animal Kingdom down in Florida. Now, this attraction tells the story of the legend of the Yeti, who guards the route to Mount Everest high in the Himalayas. To bring this story to life, we've developed not only a great and unique roller coaster attraction, but also, as a central figure of the story, a mammoth-sized audio-animatronic Yeti, the abominable snowman. Now, this figure has the potential instantaneous thrust of a 747-400 airliner, all in the name of advancing the thrill elements of the story. We think it's a significant product differentiator, but beside being a product differentiator, the power of the Yeti adds to the storytelling such that the guest experienced that story in a major way. And importantly, these translate into greater intent to return and greater intent to recommend, which then translates into future visitation from guests and subsequently to revenue growth. I brought a quick teaser to take a look at.
In the shadows of Mount Everest, a train awaits. But be warned, those attempting to reach the summit must face him. Expedition Everest, a chilling new ride, only at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park.
Now, besides developing and creating our own inventions and our own attractions to tell those stories, we'd like to continue telling stories that have been told by other Disney businesses, ultimately generating franchises of our own while capitalizing on existing and new ones. Everybody in the world talks about synergy. It's probably a very overused word, but we think that we're somewhat expert at synergy, and I'll take just a minute to tell you how and why. Let's use a Pixar character, for example, which came up several times during the last presentation. We've taken Buzz Lightyear and that franchise from enormous success on the big screen and then to his further success on the small screen in DVDs and videos, and gone a step further to create an interactive attraction that, after it opens in Paris next week, will be at each of our resorts around the world. Buzz Lightyear translates well into a game scoring based ride that we think really hits the sweet spot of kids and families and gamers of all ages. The attraction's interactivity makes it enormously repeatable. In fact, a majority of guests surveyed tell us that they rode or plan to ride Buzz multiple times during their stay. I'll move away from that and give you another example other than Pixar. Creativity in this arena flows both ways. Parks is the inspiration for high-quality entertainment as well, produced by other Walt Disney Company operations. Take Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, for 36 years, that was simply a popular attraction at our theme parks. Today, Pirates is also one of the Disney Studios' biggest franchises to date, generating in excess of $650 million at the box office, while also selling more than 35 million video units. As you know, Walt Disney Studios has two more Pirates adventures in the works, both of which are significant company franchises. Now, to show you the true power of synergy, while the theme park attraction inspired the movie is now inspiring the theme park attraction. Pirates of the Caribbean at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland are currently under construction and will reopen this summer, enhanced with new characters from this new film franchise, including, obviously, Captain Jack Sparrow and other new features and surprises for our guests. You know, upgrading an existing attraction like this to give it new story components is not only a great creative endeavor for us, it's also a cost-effective way to give people a reason to come back to the park and experience a beloved attraction again. So how does this creativity and synergy translate to our financial results? First of all, we're very focused on growing our revenue and operating income. As Doug said, increasing our margins, our free cash flows, and return on invested capital. In particular, as many of you probably already know, restoring our non-consolidated margins to the 20% plus range in the next several years is a key priority of ours. Providing progress updates on this margin goal on an apples-to-apples basis has become a bit murky, a bit complicated, given that now we're now required to consolidate our partially owned parks in both Paris and Hong Kong, and we've begun expensing employee stock options. That said, since the post-2001 recession and geopolitical period, we've used a combination of both revenue management and cost management and productivity to grow our margins. And we are continuing to make steady progress toward this goal. On this basis, margins for 2005 were 17.3%, up 220 basis points from the 15.1% we saw in 2004. We remain confident in our ability to meet this goal. Assuming continued strength in the travel and leisure markets, we plan to grow domestic volumes at about 2 to 3% per year, increase pricing at a rate that approximates inflation or maybe slightly above, and continue to expand our flanker businesses. At the same time, we will remain, as we have been, very focused on cost management and productivity. Let me talk in a couple of more specifics about how we drive the top line, the key drivers of which are attendance and occupancy, ticket pricing, guest spending, and added products and services. We have a program called Magic Your Way, which gives our guests the option of buying exactly the ticket that their families want from one day to 10 days, with or without all of the bells and whistles that we're offering, from things like park hopping to water park access to non-expiration and dining options and all of those things that we offer. It's really a way of letting our guests customize and personalize their vacations and letting them choose those that best suit their needs and desires, which helps us to continue a personal conversation with consumers. Now, we're obviously not the only company that operates under such a principle. We all know the stories of product personalization, from Starbucks personalized lattes to iPod, where you can select from literally millions and millions of songs to build your own playlist, and to cell phone users who can customize their ringtones with virtually any song that reflects their identity. It may annoy us when we're in a restaurant or on the train, but it reflects their identity nonetheless. Today, market really just demands choice, and by providing choice and customization, we're not only providing our guests what they want, but importantly, creating valuable resort differentiators. Now, specifically, to differentiate our Florida resort product from the competition, guests who stay on a Disney property can take advantage of two programs that we rolled out in 2005, the first of which is called Disney's Magical Express. With Magical Express, a guest's vacation begins the moment they land at Orlando International Airport. Having checked their bags at their hometown airport, the family can completely bypass baggage claim, get on a state-of-the-art motor coach, and go right to Walt Disney World, and their bags will magically appear in their room upon check-in. At the other end of their vacation, we also offer the convenience of allowing them to check into their return flight and check their bags, therefore avoiding the long airport check-in lines. Now, Disney's Magical Express is transporting about an average of 10,000 guests each day, with about two-thirds of guests coming into Orlando International Airport availing themselves of this service. The second program is what we call Extra Magic Hours. We certainly recognize that during a vacation on our property that families may want to take a break from park activities during the day. The kids may want a midday swim at the pool, or maybe the family just wants to take a nap. So each day, as a part of Extra Magic Hours, one of the Disney theme parks opens an hour early or stays open an additional 3 hours after regular closing time for on-property guests and only for on-property guests to enjoy. This initiative is very, very popular as well. About 40% of our guests are participating in at least one morning or evening. And importantly for our business, stated intent to return to a Disney resort is higher among guests who attended an extra magic hour. Of course, we couldn't offer these programs seamlessly if we didn't operate both the parks and resort hotels. It's our collection of these resort assets that really helps us to deliver these types of product offerings and the related results. These initiatives are good for us. They're good for the guests. They help us both financially and from a quality perspective. And importantly, they've allowed us to turn services into new product offerings for our guests. Through Magic Your Way, we can also provide a family of four the ability to stay in a standard room at a Value Disney resort for 6 nights and 7 days with theme park tickets for each of those days for an affordable price of just under $1,500. That's a family of four for a full week-long vacation. So this program provides viable options for families who have more of a value perspective in selecting their vacation and yet allows us to broaden our reach into new sets of potential guests. Now, when guests stay on our property and in our hotels, we capture a much larger portion of their total vacation dollars than when they stay off property. To provide some perspective, once again, our research tells us that a Walt Disney World guest who stays at our hotels visits our parks on average about approximately 2 more days than guests who stay off property. And guests who stay at our hotels spend on average over 60% more of their food and beverage and merchandise dollars with us than those who don't stay on property. Stay on property and use our free Disney's transportation systems, and that figure climbs even higher. So I think you can see that having guests on property for their vacations can drive significant incremental revenue for us. We believe that Magic Your Way is a significant strategic pricing and services initiative for us as well as for our guests. Now, in order to continue broadening future guest appeal, a lodging product that we will soon be introducing at Walt Disney World is the Walt Disney World Family Suites. These are two-bedroom, two-bath, value-priced units to accommodate larger parties and offer the conveniences such as kitchenette facilities and extra storage space. Later this year, we'll begin testing the guest suites concept at our All-Star Music Resort, using this as a pilot program to determine and evaluate future rollouts. Now, room rates for these types of suites are approximately $160, which is about $5 more than two standard All-Star Music rooms. Now, in addition to our new attraction offerings, our service offerings, and customizable pricing, a compelling reason to visit a Disney theme park right now is the Happiest Celebration on Earth, which commemorates 50 years of Disney's theme park. Let's take a quick look.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land.
The happiest celebration on Earth has officially begun.
It's a global event, and every park around the world is joining in the celebration. Disneyland Paris, Tokyo Disneyland, Hong Kong Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Walt Disney World, with thrilling new attractions, Soaring, Mike Motors Action Extreme Stunt Show, Expedition Everest, Cinderella Bration, and Disneyland, featuring Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blaster, Parade of Dreams, Block Party Bash. Remember, dreams come true. 50 years of magic.
Welcome home!
dedicated to the ideals and the dreams that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
Now, as we saw in the last half of 2005 and clearly continuing into the first quarter of 2006, when you combine the unprecedented scale of this celebration, which has strengthened our relationships with millions of guests around the world, with the continuing optimism of travel and tourism markets, you have a recipe for higher volumes at our parks. Of course, the attractions which debut during this celebration will be available for guests to enjoy not only during 2005 and 2006, but for many years to come. And we certainly recognize the strength of global overarching themes and the related marketing opportunities that they present, and anticipate that they will help drive attendance once the 50th celebration has concluded. Let's turn for just a minute to the Disney Cruise Line, which allows our guests a different way to explore the world while enjoying the Disney experiences that they do expect. As you may have read last week, we announced that one of our two ships, the Disney Magic, will offer Mediterranean cruises beginning in May of 2007. Now, while the Disney Magic generally sails through the Caribbean, it traveled last summer to do into the West to do Mexican Riviera cruises as part of our 50th celebration. Our new European itinerary is an adventure for this cruise ship and for our guests. So on May 12th of 2007, in response to a significant number of guests who said they wanted a hassle-free, high-quality way to explore the Mediterranean and do a Mediterranean cruise, the Disney Magic will begin its journey east, first with a 14-day transatlantic trip from Port Canaveral, Florida, to Barcelona, Spain. Upon arriving in Barcelona, the Disney Magic will offer guests 8 cruises that are of a duration of either 10 or 11 nights each, with ports of call in cities such as Palermo, Naples, Marseille, and others. This is particularly exciting for us because it not only gives our guests another itinerary set of opportunities, but also continues to show the expansion of our business on a global basis. Now, I've given you a couple of ideas and initiatives that we use to grow the top line, but we're also very focused on factors that impact our margins from the cost side. And I'd like to share some insights on just a few of our cost management and productivity areas with you now. Labor and benefits practices, our sourcing and standardization of our practices globally, and give you what I hope will be some concrete examples where we can have a significant impact in these areas and others. As you can well imagine, seemingly small initiatives can produce fairly big results and very big results given the scale of our business. Now, while we've already achieved significant savings, we expect to continue to achieve further savings going forward. Let's begin by discussing our cost situation with regard to cast members, who are a key part of Disney's key and competitive advantage, while labor also represents one of our biggest components of our cost base. The Parks and Resorts segment comprises over 70% of the Walt Disney Company workforce. Our mission is clearly to deliver memorable and magical experiences, and our cast members are a very key component of delivering this Disney difference. The challenge, which we accept, is to balance this great cast experience leading to outstanding guest service with an acceptable employment cost equation. Now, one practice is to maintain a mix of full and part-time cast members, which gives us staffing flexibility during periods of variable demand, thereby helping to optimize our cost structure. We adjust our mix of full and part-time hours, and moving forward, expect to increase our part-time labor. And while I'm only talking about several percentage points of shift here, the results are expected to be significant. In the much talked about and challenging benefits arena, we're also focused, as I think is virtually every other American company, and we're making progress. For instance, on prescription drug coverage, which is a significant driver of overall health benefits, we're using a combination of purchasing initiatives, generic drug utilization, mail order usage, and other changes to help us to both provide good benefits and have them at a more affordable cost. Collectively, these and the rest of our labor and benefits initiatives are expected to be significant contributors of cost productivity over the next several years. In terms of sourcing initiatives, we continue to explore opportunities for standardization, where we can realize both volume-related savings as well as do direct sourcing where we believe that's feasible. Additionally, we're identifying savings by leveraging technology, by automating vendor-related processes in our logistics. And finally, while we certainly recognize that there are differences in our resorts throughout the world, the key drivers of our guest experiences are similar. And so we're exploring ways in which to standardize our processes on a global basis. You know, in the past, our resorts have operated essentially as freestanding businesses. That may have made sense considering that Disneyland opened in 1955 and Walt Disney World in 1971. But today, advances in information and communications technology, coupled with the universal appeal of a Disney vacation, presents us, we think, with additional opportunities to streamline our operations and find new efficiencies. And more broadly, whether it's sourcing and procurement, marketing, advertising, sales, information technology, finance, and human resources, we are closely managing the gamut of costs for our ongoing productivity and efficiencies. Now, in addition to our top-line growth and our operating costs, we will continue to prudently monitor our capital spend and expect to drive over $1 billion of annual free cash flow after making such investments. You know, 1996 to the period of 2001 was a high capital expenditure period for the parks and resorts business. During this period, we expanded the capacity of our business by adding new parks, resort hotels, and retail districts at each of our resorts to create multi-day vacation destinations at all of our locations. During that time, we also launched the Disney Cruise Line. Given that these assets are now in the ground and on the water, our current capital strategy is to maintain these existing assets and to selectively create new ones, recognizing that there are more stories for us to tell and that our guest repeat visitation is enhanced when we do so. The shift in allocation of our domestic capital expenditures has allowed us to significantly reduce our overall capital commitment, continue to increase return on invested capital, and to drive free cash flow. We fully intend to keep domestic parks and resorts CapEx at meaningfully below $1 billion in the foreseeable future, as we have stated previously. Now, I should be careful to note here that the reduction in CapEx does not imply a reduction in maintenance capital spending and will in no way compromise the quality of our guest service, the integrity of our product, or our ability to attract visitors. A significant portion of our capital spend, as well as a portion of our OpEx, will continue to be devoted to giving our parks and resorts that sparkle quality that our guests certainly expect and that our revenue models demand. So that's a quick overview of the domestic business. Internationally, we've also invested additional capital, yet in some alternative structures where we've been able to significantly reduce our commitment by leveraging the brand as well as the interest that others have in associating with us to enhance their popularity as important tourism destinations. I think this can clearly be seen in Hong Kong Disneyland, which I'm pleased to report is now up and running, having opened both on time and under budget. In Hong Kong, we invested $314 million of the $3.5 billion of both debt and equity, while retaining a 43% equity interest in the business. In addition, we also have royalty and management fee earnings, which we take from the top line. I should note, too, that future capital expenses at the park are expected to be fully funded by Hong Kong Disneyland. Now, going forward, as we continue to explore other growth alternatives, I expect you'll see us to employ more and new creative models such as these. We're also focusing our capital investment on technology that delivers new immersive experiences for our guests. Whether that be in the form of Turtle Talk with Crush, which is an incredibly interactive, live experience that now allows guests, for the very first time, to have a real-time conversation with a favorite animated character. Whether it's the reprogramming capability of our major e-ticket attractions, such as Tower of Terror or Soarin' Over California, allowing us to create new profiles and new stories, again, providing guests an opportunity to return to visit. Or our virtual Magic Kingdom, our new interactive, massively multiplayer experience, which enhances the reach and relevance of our parks to the important teen and tween audiences and extends guest theme park experience by allowing them to interact in an online version of a Disney park. These types of initiatives require relatively low capital investments, but can have an excellent impact on our guest experience and on enticing visitation to our parks. Beyond these forms of capital, it's also important to recognize that our business also benefits from investing in what we might call high capital velocity assets, such as the Disney Vacation Club. As I stated, we have 7 Disney Vacation Club properties. 5 of them are located at Walt Disney World, all of which are sold out, except for our newest property, which is Saratoga Springs Resort, which is still being built and selling very rapidly. As just one example of this, we expect our total investment in all 3 phases of Saratoga Springs to be returned to us before the first building in the 3rd phase is completed. Another reason we like this business so well is that Disney Vacation Club members have a high Disney affinity. Members tend to visit Walt Disney World more than once per year and have a relatively longer length of stay. Besides that, and this is again important, they make up to a 50-year commitment to vacation with us. Finally, away from our parks and resorts themselves, I want to tell you about a way of entertaining our guests and bringing them back for more. This past summer, we began quietly testing Adventures by Disney, a story-based group-guided vacation experience, and our tests were in Hawaii and Yellowstone. And of course, they were not only group vacation experiences, but they were topped off with the signature Disney touch and uncompromising attention to detail. Based on the very successful preview period of Adventures by Disney in 2005, we're continuing our pilots in 2006, having added 4 additional destinations, the UK, Italy and Paris, Costa Rica, and the Canadian Rockies. Adventures by Disney leverages the brand and our expertise in offering quality travel experiences while requiring far less capital than our more traditional offerings. So our enthusiasm for the parks and resorts entertainment offerings in all of their forms, both three-dimensional and interactively online, is enormous, as hopefully has been conveyed today. Parks and Resorts plays a key role in the Walt Disney Company's overall focus on storytelling by delivering highly immersive and creative experiences that also provide consumer support to the Disney brand on a worldwide basis. Our own results are also significant as well, as we represent about a quarter of the company's operating income. At the same time, we do remain very focused, vigilantly focused, on our operating metrics and our longer-term results. And ultimately, we believe it's the combination of our distinctive and immersive experiences with operational excellence that all boils down to what I would say is a very un-Wall Street, non-business term, and that's magic. That's what our guests expect from us. That's what we expect to continue to deliver. And we do believe that this entertainment magic will continue to drive the reality of financial success for us for years to come. Thanks very much. I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Sure. I want to know if I could, maybe I'll just take the first one or two really quickly. I guess the first one is, in the past, I think Jay Rizzullo has shown a chart that shows that exclusive of opening new gates, that the attendance tends to be relatively stagnant within a cycle. So I guess my question is, what gives you the confidence that you can put together this the post of 2-3% volume growth, and then maybe as part of that, is there any risk that you've pulled forward some of the demand with the 50th celebration?
Yeah, the 50th is a tremendous celebration for us. I think as we follow up with the 50th on what will come next, and we do have plans on what will come next, will really be the determinant of that, Doug. And it's really important, again, that we're giving, you know, our consumers and guests a real reason to come and vacation with us. It's not a concern that I have currently. It's you know, as I said, it will really lead from the 50th into the next, you know, overarching theme that we describe. I think I continue to have confidence because, I hope you can see from the things that we're doing, we're finding new and unique and creative ways to have people, you know, continue to come back, whether it's reaching out to new markets in something like a $1,500 week-long family of 4 vacation, markets that perhaps thought historically that perhaps they really couldn't vacation with us now have a reason to do so. I think as we continue to grow the Disney Vacation Club business, which we are, that gives us opportunities for additional visitation to our parks. And, of course, the other ancillary businesses, or flanker businesses, I should say, that we've talked about. So I think it's the combination of all of those things, turning services into products, our pricing strategies, and products that we continue to add.
Or maybe just to drill down on the margins, because you were, I think, pretty explicit here in terms of what your goals are. You know, if you went back and looked at the operating leverage in the business the last time you got toward peak attendance, you know, whatever, 99, 2000, you had, I think, something like 30 cents on the dollar fell to the bottom line, of incremental revenue fell to the bottom line, and then last year it's you know, something maybe around half of that. So, again, I think you've been quite explicit with your targets, but maybe you could just talk philosophically about what is you think is different in terms of leverage in the business then versus.
Well, keep in mind, we're not all the way back, and we are making good progress toward our goal, and really do expect to be there. You know, I think the premise is different. I think the world has changed, as you know. I think from 2000 to 2005 and even into 2006, we've experienced some of the highest increase in healthcare costs that anybody's ever seen. I think you see it almost daily on the front page of papers. It's not a problem of Disney. It's a problem that I think every American company is certainly experiencing. And I think you see other matters like that. So it's this particular time, it's a very tough comparison to make between what we're seeing in the 2005-2006 time frame and what we saw post-2001. But again, I'm very confident with all of the pieces that we have moving in the direction. Again, as we've said before, given a relatively ongoing, healthy travel and leisure, travel and tourism market, that's important to us, that we will be there and be able to make the goals that we've set out.
Okay. Sir, do you want to speak loudly?
Is that up? Hello? Okay. What's changed at the park since Iger's taken over, you know, at the parent, or you know, has anything changed or substantial in terms of direction or...
I think keep in mind, I think what Bob has done is to clearly articulate the three key goals of the company, that being, you know, creativity, that being the use of technology to enhance and advance our creativity and our global expansion. So I don't think those are things that really occur overnight. Bob has always been very, very involved with the theme parks. He travels to all of our parks around the world. I know that he has visited and is visiting in the next period of time. So I think it's a focus on what it is that's important to the Disney company, because as I pointed out at the beginning of my remarks, what we do in the parks and resorts business and what the Disney company does is good for both of us, is good for all of us from a synergistic perspective. And so I don't want to say it's business as usual, because that would be understating it, but I think it's continuing to tell great stories and to have guests come back and tell great stories, keeping an eye on the longer-term metrics, the financial metrics, because we really do believe that great creative content and good stories that keep families coming back will lead to those returns and those greater long-term metrics, financial metrics. Yes, sir.
I'll repeat it, Morris. Go ahead.
Either the development or the structure of new attractions at the parks? That was the first question.
Well, you know, I think, as you know, since we've been in business with Pixar pre-merger, we've been utilizing their characters, utilizing their stories. As I pointed out, you know, the one example, Buzz Lightyear is tremendous. We have a tremendous asset base in our Walt Disney Imagineering folks that are really always looking to use those stories in new ways. You know that we're going to open Nemo Subride in Disneyland in the coming year. So I think that we make all of the efforts to exploit the characters and the stories that are being told. John Lasseter is going to be the principal creative advisor, and I think there's a closer, you know, symbiosis, if you will, between Walt Disney Imagineering, therefore, and what Pixar is doing that I think we'll see going forward. Also, I think post-merger, it may be a little bit easier for us to market characters and stories more specifically than perhaps it was under a different relationship.
I think this might be the last one, Mars, because we're running out. So,
oh.
Yeah, Matt, you have to choose one of your next two. Just one.
Okay, just one?
Yeah.
You've got a lot of assets in Disney World. You've got 33,000 hotel rooms, and you've got all this land. Can you sort of tell us whether you need all of that and or whether you can continue to operate it and whether it should or might be operated or structured differently in the future?
You know, I think I said, one of the things I think I said during the prepared remarks, that the ability to operate seamlessly between our parks and resorts business really, really works for us. We have other operations that are on our property, the Swan and Dolphin, for example. They don't produce the same way that our owned and operated properties do. So I think that's one thing. The second thing is, so that's sort of a friction piece, I would say, that without our ability to have both of those, there'd be an added friction. I think there'd be a significant tax charge given the basis in those assets. But, you know, we still look at things that were interesting to us, and we do look at them from time to time. We do keep an eye on or study our land and our land assets and determine, you know, what we will do with them going forward. I mentioned Disney Vacation Club as being important to us, and I think we have plenty of land left to continue to develop Disney Vacation Club, which is an important asset for us.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.